Copyright 1992 Acebo. All material on this tape is copyrighted. It is a violation of federal copyright law to copy all or any part of this tape without the express written permission of Acebo. Post Office Box 7485, Spreckels, California, 93962. Tape 5, Side A, Simultaneous Lessons 10 through 13. Lesson 10.
Directions. Dual task. Alcohol. Son muy numerosas las personas que beben alcohol diariamente o con regularidad en España. La última encuesta del Ministerio de Sanidad mostraba que algo más del 50% de la población mayor de 18 años consume bebidas alcohólicas diariamente. El 71% de los varones mayores de 18 años las consume en días laborables y semanalmente lo hacen hasta un 80% de los varones y un 51% de las mujeres. El alcohol forma parte de nuestra cultura hasta tal punto que en algunos países, entre ellos España, se encuentra incluido entre los alimentos y se ha utilizado como complemento de la dieta. Razones culturales y sociales son la causa de que se proporcione bebidas alcohólicas a los niños. En esto son sumamente peligrosas, ya que dificultan el desarrollo y la maduración del sistema nervioso y predisponen al hábito alcohólico. En España, el porcentaje de personas con un consumo alto y excesivo de alcohol representa un 70% de la población adulta, aunque los varones alcanzan el 12% en días laborables y el 20% en los festivos. Cuanto mayor es el consumo medio por habitante, mayor es el número de alcohólicos, el número de bebedores excesivos, mayor el riesgo de tener problemas de salud, de tener accidentes de tráfico y de trabajo, mayor el número de intoxicaciones agudas por alcohol, de familias alteradas o rotas, y las consecuencias laborales y sociales. El número de alcohólicos aumenta progresivamente. Este llega al 2.5% de la población, junto con un 5% de consumidores excesivos.
Directions. Dual task. When police arrived at the scene at 1372 23rd Street, they found three vehicles on the premises: a 1979 Pontiac Firebird, license number A39112, a 1985 Toyota Celica, license number GBD9982, and a 1965 Ford Falcon, license number 995CCN. The school secretary reported that the equipment stolen from the office on September 3rd included a Minolta copier, model 900B, a Smith Corona typewriter, model 1320ES, serial number 991-77293, and an Apple IIe computer, serial number K1172P90. For case number CR7227, defendant is ordered to pay a fine of $980 plus a penalty assessment of $400 plus $500 to the victim restitution fund for a total of $1,880 on or before July 15, 1994. Directions. Interpret into Spanish. Expert witness testimony.
What is an intoxilizer?
The intoxilizer, which is a brand name for the machine known as a gas chromatograph intoximeter, is a breath testing machine that has been approved for use by the Department of Public Health for the determination of a blood alcohol level from a breath sample. It is specific use of a general principle known as infrared absorption, and if the instrument is operating properly, and it is operated properly, it will give a printout on a print card the operator inserts into the top of the instrument. This printed result will correspond to a digital display that is observed on the face of the instrument. It will accurately determine the minimum blood alcohol level of an individual and will accurately determine the amount of alcohol in any given breath sample.
You said that it will determine the minimum blood alcohol level. What do you mean by that?
A person may not necessarily get the ideal air blown into the instrument, that being the deep lung air. If the individual blows in with a shallow breath or a force of pressure not sufficient to get the deep lung air out, the instrument will read the air that is introduced. This will be the upper respiratory or upper middle lung air, which is lower in alcohol content than the deep lung air. So, by minimum, I am saying that a person may be a 0.15. As an example, he may not blow the deep lung air. The reading may come out at a 0.09, 0.10, or anywhere below the 0.15. Conversely, if they blow in their deep lung air with sufficient force and the instrument is being operated properly, they may get the 0.14, 0.15. However, the instrument cannot read what isn't there. So, if the individual does have a blood alcohol level of 0.15, it is virtually impossible, if the instrument is working properly, to get a reading higher than that.
Can you estimate what is the average time, let's say, for the total absorption period after the last drink?
Total absorption, or absorption of alcohol generally, takes place within 15 minutes to 45 minutes after the final consumption of the drink, and it has been known to go as long as an hour and a half.
Would that depend on the person's drinking habit of that day? If they were drinking at intervals, whether they were drinking at one relatively brief sitting?
No, it refers to the person's own body metabolism, how much they had to eat, very possibly their size, weight, sex, their drinking history. The alcohol affects an individual after it passes into the brain and the central nervous system. The absorption takes place almost instantaneously, and it can take a matter of minutes for some of the alcohol to go from the stomach to the brain. It could be that quick, depending upon the stomach content.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Lesson 11.
Directions. Paraphrase. Fuentes del Derecho de México. El artículo 19 del Código Civil del Distrito Federal reconoce como fuentes del derecho la ley, la jurisprudencia y los principios generales del derecho, es decir, la doctrina, pero no menciona la costumbre, que es universalmente admitida como fuente del derecho. La ley. La típica fuente del derecho es la ley, o sea, la norma de derecho que es dictada, promulgada y sancionada por el poder público. Se dice que es norma de derecho porque es una regla obligatoria de conducta que es promulgada, es decir, publicada con el fin de ser conocida para ser cumplida. La jurisprudencia. No se concibe una ley sin ser interpretada, es decir, explicada en cuanto a su sentido o significación, precisamente por ser una regla abstracta y general, y esta labor corresponde a uno de los órganos del poder público, el Poder Judicial, que tiene como función aplicar la ley, es decir, realizar el derecho. Principios generales del derecho. son aquellas reglas o principios lógicos que se deducen de todo el sistema o conjunto de normas jurídicas que constituyen el derecho y que al nacer de él también lo integran, de modo de formar la ciencia del derecho, una unidad regida por múltiples reglas o principios encadenados lógica y sistemáticamente. Los juristas, con su conocimiento del derecho, integran poco a poco este conjunto de principios que en último término constituyen la doctrina, formada también por el conjunto de sus opiniones. La costumbre. Podemos definir la costumbre como los actos repetidos constantemente a través del tiempo, como una forma de resolver situaciones que caen dentro del campo del derecho. Aunque esta fue quizás la forma primitiva de fuente del derecho, constantemente ha perdido terreno a medida que lo ha ganado la ley escrita. En algunos países, como Inglaterra, la costumbre tiene una importancia decisiva como forma y fuente de su derecho.
Directions. Interpret into Spanish. Motion to suppress. Points and authorities. If the court please, the defense would like to be heard on a 1538.5 motion before we proceed any further in this matter.
You may proceed, counsel.
Your Honor, the prosecution has offered evidence that was obtained in violation of the defendant's constitutional rights, and we are therefore asking that it be suppressed under section 1538.5. In facts very similar to those of People versus Hargrave, Calap 3rd, Volume 212, page 1398, the court heard the testimony of Officer Girard in the preliminary hearing to the effect that he discovered the defendant sleeping in his car, asked him for ID, searched his wallet, and found the bindle in question. Therefore, it is our contention that the bindle containing the alleged controlled substance was seized from the defendant without due process. Officer Girard testified that he tapped on the defendant's car window and asked him to get out. The defendant was obviously startled out of a deep sleep. Officer Girard is a very large man. He was in uniform. And the defendant was sufficiently intimidated by the circumstances that he did not feel he was free to leave or to refuse any request by a police officer. Your Honor, that constitutes a detention, and the bindle was therefore seized without proper advice of rights or waiver of rights.
As I think counsel can see, there is no detention here. In fact, the case that's very much close to this is People versus Harris, which is a 1986 opinion at 184 Cal Appellate 3rd, page 1319, in which an officer did just that. He found the defendant sleeping in a car and asked him to get out. The court held that under those circumstances there was no detention. We also know from the cases that have been decided in the last few years, for an officer to approach somebody sitting on or in a car and ask them to produce ID, that also does not amount to a detention. Two cases on that are People v. Perez, a 1989 at 211 Cal Appellate 3rd, page 1492, and People v. Lopez, also a 1989 decision at volume 212 Cal Appellate 3rd, page 289. That same year, People v. Rosales was also decided. It's found at 211 Cal App 3rd, page 325. And there it indicates, in accordance with a number of other cases decided recently, that an officer can approach a person, identify himself as an officer, and ask questions without those acts amounting to a detention. I don't think there's any point in the contact between the officer and Mr. Fuentes that you can describe as a detention. He's asking for ID. Mr. Fuentes produces what appears to be a valid California ID. The officer sees something that catches his interest because it looks like it might be a Department of Corrections card, given the appearance of the defendant with tattoos. He has a question in his mind as to whether or not this person is on parole. There's no detention. He's simply going to ask questions to find out about Mr. Fuentes' status. He asks Mr. Fuentes, "May I see that card?" In response, Mr. Fuentes hands over the wallet, and the officer, instead of just jumping in there, searching through the wallet, is even more careful. "May I search your wallet?" he says. Mr. Fuentes indicates that the officer can do that. It is at that point that the officer discovers the bindle. I think this is typified as a consensual encounter under the analysis the U.S. Supreme Court has given us to follow in those cases.
Lesson 12.
Directions, paraphrase. Levantamiento de huellas dactilares. Primero se toma con mucho cuidado los objetos que tengan huellas dactilares, fundamentalmente por aquellas partes que se sospeche no han sido tocadas o que de haberlo sido no permitan la impresión de huellas útiles. Es recomendable realizar esta operación usando guantes, de preferencia de plástico. Después, se mete los objetos en cajas de cartón o depósitos de madera de tal forma que las superficies donde se sospeche existen huellas queden perfectamente protegidas de cualquier roce. Llegado al laboratorio, se procede con el análisis comparativo de impresiones dactilares de la siguiente manera. Número 1. Se examina la impresión dactilar indubitada con el fin de evaluar sus posibilidades de cotejo. Número 2. Se observa la disposición de las crestas. Número 3. Se señala su tipo fundamental utilizando para ello, en caso de ser necesario, la respectiva lupa. Número 4. Se establece mediante el uso de la lupa las características de los deltas si es que se trata de verticilos o presillas, al igual que el tipo y ubicación exacta de los puntos característicos, islote, cortada, bifurcación, horquilla y encierro. Número 5. Se examina la impresión dactilar dubitada conforme a lo establecido en los puntos anteriores. Y número 6, se toma una fotografía de cada una de las impresiones y se las amplifica al mismo tamaño, identificando en cada una de las impresiones fotográficas los puntos característicos y acotándolos al margen con un número de orden. Ahora bien, si se encuentran en suficiente número puntos característicos homólogos, queda establecida la identidad de las impresiones.
Directions. Interpret into Spanish. Examination of fingerprint expert. Detective Marlowe, can you explain to the jury, first of all, how fingerprints come about?
Well, a fingerprint is the impression left by the ridges of the skin on the tips of the finger. The body exudes certain oils and acids. When you touch something with your fingertips, you leave the impression of the ridges which are on your fingers.
Are fingerprints unique, or is it theoretically possible for two people to have the same fingerprint?
No one has ever discovered a duplicate of a fingerprint, even on the same person or an identical twin. So it is possible to identify an individual with just one impression.
Can a person's fingerprints change over time?
No, despite such factors as aging and environmental influences, a person's fingerprints do not change.
Now, what is a latent fingerprint, Detective Marlowe?
A latent fingerprint is an invisible or unseen fingerprint. It is caused by the perspiration through the sweat pores on the ridges of the skin being transferred to some surface. Fingerprints also occur as residues when the finger ridges have been contaminated with such materials as oil, dirt, blood, or grease.
Are there other types of fingerprints?
There are three different types of fingerprints. One is the type that is made deliberately when the finger is inked, as when someone applies for a driver's license. Another type is a visible impression left on a substance such as tar or wax. And the third type is the latent prints we will be discussing here, which is what you get when you touch a hard, smooth surface. The oils and acids would be left behind.
How would you process latent fingerprints?
We would process this type with powder and a feather, and we would apply dust over the area with the feather. The powder would adhere to those acids. Then we would lift them with a clear plastic tape and apply it to a card of contrasting colors.
Once you have obtained impressions of the fingerprints, how do you compare them for identification purposes?
We take them to the lab and compare them with known prints.
And what is it you are looking for in this comparative process, Detective Marlowe?
Well, it is the ridge detail of the prints, including ends of the ridges, their separations, and their relationship to each other that constitutes the basis for identification of fingerprints. It takes from 10 to 12 points, or identical characteristics, to establish individual identity.
How are these points classified?
The major fingerprint patterns are known as arches, loops, and whorls, and they come in different variations, such as the plain arch, the double loop, etc.
Thank you, Detective. That is all.
Lesson 13.
Directions, dual task. El día 6 de febrero de 1991, mi cuñado me vendió una camioneta Ford del año 1982 por $1,300. Le di una entrada de $500 y le quedé debiendo $800 en mensualidades de $100 cada una. La Brigada Antinarcóticos incautó 19 kilos de heroína el lunes de la semana pasada a las 16:30 horas cuando invadieron una residencia particular ubicada en la población de Santa Cruz. El decreto número 182-90 del 31 de diciembre de 1990 dispone que quien esté en posesión de más de 20 gramos de marihuana es culpable del delito de posesión para distribución y venta, y dispone que la pena será de 4 a 12 años de prisión y la multa de 10 a 400 salarios mínimos. A las 3:35 de la madrugada del día 4 de octubre del corriente, fue asesinado en atentado terrorista el policía Fernando Ruiz Torres, de 47 años, mientras patrullaba en su vehículo en la zona 7 de la ciudad capital. El día martes 23 de febrero del año en curso, el acusado dio en su solicitud de trabajo el número de teléfono de 537-1998 y dijo que su dirección era el número 4438 de la calle 7 Oeste en la ciudad capital. La comisaría de policía en el pueblo de San Antonio cuenta con 60 agentes, aunque solo 18 están de turno en un momento dado, y su arsenal solo consta de 8 rifles anticuados y 15 viejos revólveres calibre 38. Los artículos robados que decomisaron los agentes cuando invadieron la casa ubicada en la calle 18, número 1823, incluían 7 televisores, 14 receptores de radio, 3 teléfonos móviles, 11 estéreos y 2 computadoras. El declarante, Julián Nares Moreno, dio los siguientes datos personales. Fecha de nacimiento, abril 3 de 1972. Cédula de identidad número CN991227. Dirección, Avenida Los Héroes número 1755, Zona 15, Distrito Federal. Apartado postal número 233B.
Directions. Interpret into Spanish. The court calls the matter of People versus Prospero Alvarado Gomez, case number A992034. Is the defendant ready for sentencing in this matter?
Your Honor, my client informs me that he is ready for you to pass sentence based on the probation report.
Are the people ready?
Yes, Your Honor, the people are ready.
Mr. Alvarado, have you read the probation report? Or has the probation report been read to you?
Your Honor, the defense will stipulate that the probation report has been interpreted for the defendant, and he has no additions or corrections. He is willing to abide by the recommendations contained therein.
Are the people agreeable to that stipulation?
So stipulate, Your Honor.
Is there any reason why sentence should not be passed?
No, Your Honor.
Very well. In case number A992034, imposition of sentence is suspended and the defendant is placed on formal probation for 5 years with the following terms and conditions. 1. That the defendant spend 90 days in the county jail. 2. That he pay a fine in the amount of $980 plus penalty assessment of $450 plus the $50 processing fee for work furlough if he qualifies, for a total of $1,480 on or before July 14, 1993. If he wishes to make that payment in monthly installments, there will be an additional fee of $30, and the minimum monthly payment is $50. 3. That he not drive with any measurable amount of alcohol in his system. 4. That he not drive without a valid driver's license. 5. That he submit to drug tests whenever so requested by his probation officer. 6. That he attend and complete the residential drug treatment program recommended by his probation officer. 7. That he not associate with any known member of Los Perdidos gang. 8. That he not molest, harass, or in any way communicate with his ex-wife and children. 9. That he perform 20 hours of community service. Mr. Alvarado, do you understand each and every one of these terms and conditions of probation?
Yes.
Are you willing to abide by them to the letter? Because if you're not, you've got a prison sentence hanging over your head. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
That will be the order of the court, then. Good luck to you.